Welcome back to Devil's Radio, the Shaw, the Paul Revere Show. We are here at 5:40 a.m., 101.92.7 FM every Monday night at 7. Call-in number. And think about calling in this next half hour. Call in 844-967-2789. I'm privileged, and we're privileged to have Sachin Chedda here with us, the director of the Fair Elections Project, the current chair of the Fair Maps Coalition. Welcome, Sachin.
Thanks, Mark. Really excited to be on the show with you tonight. You know, I grew up in Waukesha.
There you go, right? I love the hat. Go Bucks. But here, let's start out. What is the Fair Elections Project all about? What is the Fair Maps Coalition all about? And then we'll talk sort of about the history, what's going on, but tell us about the coalition first.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Fair Maps Coalition, of which the Fair Elections Project that I run is a member, is dedicated to ending partisan gerrymandering and making legislative redistricting fair for our legislative districts all across the state, for both Congress and the legislature, to reflect the will of the people. What we have right now is a rigged political system in which the party that is in power is keeping themselves in power by making squiggly lines all over the state of Wisconsin so that like-minded people either are forced together in too many numbers or kicked apart in too many numbers. And so even when we have 50-50 elections or an election where the Democrats win by a little bit, in Wisconsin, Republicans are guaranteed control of the state legislature, in fact, a supermajority of the state legislature, even if they can't get the votes from the people. And so we're dedicated to stopping that, not only here in Wisconsin, but in every state where that's happening. In some states, Democrats do it. In some states, Republicans do it. Here, it's Republicans who are holding on to power even when the people don't support them, and we're trying to fight that.
So let's go back, right? We have maps every 10 years, right, with the census?
That's right.
So let's go back a decade ago and where this sort of the current fight really started.
So, absolutely. So every 10 years, we have to have a census. The U.S. Constitution demands it. About 60 years ago, the Supreme Court said that meant that we need to have equal population districts, that you actually had to think about, you know, block by block, how many people lived on the block, and make sure that every legislative district had close to equal population. So we have 99 assembly districts. Let's say we have 6 million people in the state. Each legislative district has to have about 60,000 people. That's basically the rule. So for many decades, Wisconsin was able to draw fair maps, either because the parties would compromise or they wouldn't be able to compromise, and the courts would then impose a fair map. And what we mean by a fair map is that if Republicans got more votes, they would get a majority. If Democrats got more votes, they would get a majority. But what happened in 2010 is we had the first time in the modern era where one party had total control of the redrawing process. And so they rigged the maps. They said, even if in the future Republicans don't get a majority of the votes, we're going to make sure Republicans get more seats in the state assembly and the state Senate. And they were very successful at it. They used computers and they had a secret map room, and they had very high technology and lots of consultants, and they were able to rig the maps. And we've been living under those rigged maps for the last 10 years. And so what that has meant is even when Democrats have won a significant majority of the vote, Republicans have maintained control of the state assembly and the state Senate, and they've been able to block the will of the people as would be enacted by Democrats who got more votes.
So why don't we just talk briefly, because there was actually a decision made by a federal court that had found the maps unconstitutional.
So that's right.
Tell our listeners how that case came about and what happened to that case.
Absolutely. So after that 2010 redrawing, we had our first elections in 2012, and the Democrats actually won a huge majority in the Assembly and the Senate in terms of votes. but they only received a minority of the seats. In fact, no seats, the number of seats didn't change between the before the vote in 2012 and after the vote. So Representative Fred Kessler brought together a group of leaders and said, hey, what are we going to do about this? And after a lot of research and analysis, it was determined that the best solution was for the Supreme Court to actually decide once and for all that partisan gerrymandering should be considered unconstitutional. So a group of citizens that I was a part of gathered some plaintiffs up. We filed a case in federal court. And in 2016, at the end of 2016, after a couple of more elections that happened under these rigged maps, a federal district court based in Madison ruled that these maps were unfair and unconstitutional because they violated the rights of Wisconsin voters. And that decision was made, but then it was immediately stayed. And after three more years of litigation, the Supreme Court eventually decided that no, federal courts weren't going to do anything about this. In the intervening years, Donald Trump had appointed a couple of new people to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we lost essentially at the U.S. Supreme Court. So even though a court had ruled that these maps were unconstitutional and violated people's rights, the U.S. Supreme Court said you couldn't deal with that in federal court. You could only deal with it either by action of the state legislature or action of the state court. And so far, we haven't had a state Supreme Court that's been willing to take this head on. In fact, they've gone in the other direction, and they've said that these rigged partisan maps should stay in place for the near future.
So, you know, there is a current lawsuit filed. The case is Johnson. We're going to be waiting any day now. We should be getting a decision. Tell our listeners sort of though, our Supreme Court made some preliminary findings in terms of how they would analyze the map. And
that's right.
Let's exactly talk right about that a little bit.
Yeah. So what happened is that we have folks who've been fighting the redistricting cause. A number of different lawsuits have been filed. Those lawsuits have all been combined. So there's actually nine different parties to these lawsuits. You've got the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. You've got citizens. You've got politicians, all different parties. And it's been consolidated into one suit at the state level. And then one of the preliminary rulings, the partisan majority of the state Supreme Court said, well, we do have to decide what map we're going to use because Governor Evers had vetoed the Republican effort to rig the maps. But what the state Supreme Court is, they said they made up this law that never existed before, that hasn't had any history in Wisconsin, that whatever map they imposed to solve the problem of equal population had to deviate as little as possible from the rigged 2011 maps that the Republicans passed 10 years ago. And it's unfortunate that they did that. It's not a decision that's rooted in any sort of state or federal law. It was just made up by Justice Bradley and her colleagues, Justice Rebecca Bradley, not Ann Walsh Bradley, because they wanted an outcome. They're activist judges, they're activist right-wing judges, and they wanted the outcome of a rigged Republican map. Now, the final decision will come down from the state Supreme Court, I think in the next 2 weeks or so. They said it would happen hopefully by early March. We're now into March as of tomorrow. So hopefully it will come soon. And it's possible the map will be slightly fairer, slightly, than the current rigged map. It's also possible it could get worse and be even more rigged. But the deviation from the current map is going to be fairly minimal because they made this preliminary decision, not rooted in the law, not rooted in the Constitution, not rooted in any sort of case law. And it's because they wanted an outcome. And the outcome they want is a permanent Republican majority, whether or not that's what the people of Wisconsin vote for.
So you've been around the state over the last decade on this issue, right?
Yeah, I've traveled all over the state, given over more than 100 talks, and engaged as many voters as I can to talk about this issue.
What are you finding when you're out there talking to folks? What are their concerns about the fact that we are in this system where our political system, no matter what the majority of votes go on any one given election, one party still maintains the power in Madison?
Yeah, I think what I see universally from Republicans and from Democrats is that they see that the system is rigged and that the system is unresponsive. When you live in a democracy, a small d democracy, our expectation is that when the will of the voters is voiced, that what will happen in the legislature is that they will pass policy that reflects the will of the voters. And what they see happening for the last 10 years is voters of all stripes, not just Democrats, but Republicans, independents, Democrats, moderates, all different types of people being ignored on a range of issues: healthcare, dark store loophole, education funding, transportation funding, and only a very small, narrow slice of people having power. And that unresponsive government, they realize that there's some intentionality to that. And we're able to show them how it is gerrymandering, how it is the drawing of the map lines that is the core reason why their government is unresponsive to them. And that's why citizens and voters and residents all over the state of Wisconsin, again, Republicans, independents, and Democrats, have stood up loudly at the local level and said, we want this to stop. We want the district lines to be drawn not by politicians who can benefit themselves, but by some independent body, so that we know when we have elections that those elections are going to be meaningful.
So we're going to have these new maps, and it sounds like from your observations, you're not very hopeful that it's going to change much in terms of the lay of the land.
At least not for the 2022 elections. That's right.
So how do we go out and talk to our fellow citizens and give them any kind of hope that things can change?
Well, you know, I have to wear kind of a nonpartisan hat while I'm doing this work, this fair elections work. But what I'll tell you is that split government does give more power to the people, right? Because if they don't agree with what one side is doing, they have someone from the other side. And right now, we have split government. We have a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. We're still going to have a Republican legislature, no matter how people vote. Even if they voted massive majorities for the Democrats in the legislature, they're still going to have a Republican legislature. So perhaps if people are interested in split government, they would have to vote for a Democratic governor. And then I would look ahead and say it's really important what kinds of justices you put on the state Supreme Court. And the next time you'll have a chance to vote on that is a year from now, 13 months from now, at the beginning of April in 2023. And I hope that people take into account whether they get an activist judge like Rebecca Bradley and Pat Rogensack and Annette Ziegler, or whether they get a judge who's really committed to the law, like Ann Walsh Bradley and Joe Kurofsky and Rebecca Dallet, who aren't partisans and who are looking to do what the Constitution requires. And that's going to be a decision that people are also going to have to make then in the spring of 2023.
You know, and I'll come back to that more on the other side of our next break, but have you seen that this gerrymandered, rigged system has limited the democracy within the majority party, meaning the Republican Party?
Absolutely. And I talk about this with business interests all the time, which is that if you don't already agree with the leadership, with Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu, and sometimes there are internal debates amongst conservatives, but there is no process for the public interest to be lifted up, even amongst conservatives, even amongst Republicans, because the power in Madison is where all of the power resides in those leaders. And if you don't toe the party line, you're going to get primaried and you're going to get kicked out by Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu. And it's happened more than once when people have refused to toe the party line. In fact, one of your colleagues on the Election Commission was someone who voted against Act 10, and he was then suddenly persona non grata, as I recall. I actually don't remember if it was him or the other K guy, but one of the assembly reps with a K. And so it might have been Crawford, not Knudsen. But the point being that they were kicked out of the legislature, essentially. They were made persona non grata. And so if you're a Main Street business who thinks it's unfair how you're being made to compete because of the dark store loophole, you're out of luck if you're not with Robin Voss.
You know, we've seen Senator Bernier, who came out recently and was talking about the Gableman investigation of the 2020 elections and said the whole thing was a charade, but now she's not running again. Do you think part of this gerrymandered problem is one of the reasons why she's getting out?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, I don't know her and I don't know what her reasoning is, but I will tell you that if you are a Republican who refuses to toe the party line, you are made persona non grata. And that's just the fact. And it's antithetical to what the American idea is. It's called the Paul Revere Show because we fought for government by the people. And what we have been gerrymandering is completely antithetical to that.
Thank you, Sachin. We'll be back on the other side.